Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, another edition of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant. Hi there, Paul.
Hello.
Hey, you're looking rested. Looking refreshed, and
that's a good thing.
The last few shows we had recorded some pre-shows that you did before you went on your trip to Indonesia,
right?
And we're just segueing back now. Technically, now you are back.
That's right.
So we've been hearing
just got
every
back
week
a couple days ago
about what you were doing in Indonesia, and sounds like quite an adventure. And you've been there several times. So tell us again, why Indonesia?
Well, you know, Indonesia opened up just really by relationship, which is a very good friend of mine who is Indonesian. His name is Isaac. He was here in the States going through some educational programs. We met at church and we just developed a really good friendship. And through that, then Indonesia opened up. There was a time when I was getting my law degree and I lived in Michigan, and he and I didn't see each other. By the time I got back to the Seattle area, he had already been back in Indonesia. He moved back. Well, many years later, one summer, he calls me and says, "Hey, I'm in the Seattle area. You want to get together?" I go, "Absolutely." So we reconnected, and it's one of those relationships where even though you've been separated by time and distance, you get back together, and there seems like there's been no time and distance. It's just one of those natural relationships. And in the conversation at one point, he goes, "You want to come to Indonesia and see what I'm doing?" And I said, "Well, yes." So I don't think very much sometimes. And I just jump in to things, and absolutely. So,
and you have a missionary background too, in some of your previous things.
Yeah, that is true. So missions has always been a big part of my heart. It's always been a part of who I am. I spent several years overseas in Europe, mostly Eastern Europe, in Romania, right after the—
Where you met your wife.
Yes, that's right. She is Romanian. And so I was in Romania 3 months after communism fell in 1990, April of 1990. And so, yes, I spent several years overseas, and it just has become a part of my life. I've led through different churches that I've gone through, mission trips back to Europe and in other places. So you're correct. Missions has always been a part of who I am. It's always been in my DNA. And so when Isaac said, "Let's go, you know, come back to Indonesia or come to Indonesia for the first time," it's very natural for me to say, "Absolutely, not a problem." So the first couple of trips, I actually took my daughters with me. Fantastic time as a family to travel and let them see what was happening there. And then, of course, COVID has interrupted in the past years, haven't been able to travel. And during really the first couple trips and the break of COVID, Isaac and I started working on more of a strategic business program. As a matter of fact,
that's so kind of like business evangelism or whatever, or Christian business.
To a large degree. So what we do is we set up a 2-day business session and invite the public to come. There's no charge. As a matter of fact, we buy them lunch, and so we pay for everything. There's a little bit of a price tag for renting conference rooms and buying people lunch and doing other things that we provide for them. And so we created the Strategic Success Program in Indonesia. And the first day is talking about really good business principles. What does every business owner need to think about? We need to think about how to take care of clients. We need to think about what our vision and our mission is in business. And I'm not talking from a Christian perspective. I'm talking really standard, strong business principles that every business owner needs to implement to have a successful business. Budgeting and tracking your finances. In a cash society like Indonesia, that's very, very difficult, and it's actually something that they don't consider. So they mix everything in to their personal life. If they make money that day, they just take it home in their pockets and then they spend it on what they need, not giving thought about what they need to purchase to restock or to make sure that they have enough supplies to make their business continue to move forward. These things are probably reasonably obvious to most American or Western business owners. But they are very revolutionary to Indonesians, and they haven't given much thought, nor have they been given much education on base business principles. So therefore, the first day is intentionally not about Christianity. It is intentionally about good, strong business principles as a way to bring everybody in so that whether someone is Hindu, whether they're Muslim, whether they are Christian, whether they have no religion, they would come in and they would not know that they are being taught by a licensed minister or there's really no Christianity involved. Now, day two, we change it. In day two, that's when we get them back into the room and we talk about one spiritual principle. And we intentionally call it a spiritual principle. I actually meticulously go through what does it look like if a Hindu were to practice generosity, for example. What does it look like if a Muslim was to practice generosity? What does it look like if a Christian was to practice generosity? So I find commonality in those three major religions. Why? Because Bali, where I have been going, is predominantly Hindu, to where all of the other islands, other than two other major islands,
all Muslim.
All right, are primarily Muslim, and then there are a couple Christian islands, and so. So I compare the three religions that would be present and known in Bali, and then I say we're going to use the Bible as our primary source from this point of the conversation forward. So I do some comparison to make the a better platform because I don't know who my audience is going to be that day. And then I make an argument that Christianity and the Word of God is going to be the source of authority from this point forward.
But they do have freedom of religion there. It's not like it's a theocracy that imposes Islam or Hinduism.
Correct. Now, the government does
utilize. You're getting trouble for using the Bible.
Correct. So the government is Muslim-based, and they utilize that as their tool. But, yes, there are open Christian churches. Now, churches cannot own property, so they always have to rent property. So they use malls and they use other places like that that would allow a reasonable space to have a church. But yes, it is open and there's not a problem. But there is a problem in really being outspoken. So you can't just stand on a street corner and preach the gospel.
Right.
That would not fly. If you can't have open air evangelism,
so that's why you've devised this kind of tent making approach or lifestyle evangelism
to a degree. Well, number one, it's what I do, right? In my profession as an attorney, I deal with estate planning, and I deal with a lot of business owners. So, yes, I know quite a bit about business and structuring businesses. And so it's a very natural thing for me to talk about. So it's a part of who I am, which is also then why it creates a nice, easy opportunity for me to talk and put things together about business. But yes, it is certainly that I want to take a message that will draw the public in. That's the whole purpose of day one. Is I want anyone to come who is comfortable that there's no religion attached to it, so that it sets up day number two to where we can make an argument for Christ through the entire day in day number two.
Mm-hmm. Well, so it sounds like there a lot of preparation that goes into this from your contacts there in Indonesia? They kind of get the word out that you're coming, you're having these meetings and
Yeah, so, Indonesia is a very last minute society, so there's not a lot of planning. We're very married to our calendars in the States. So we make appointments months in advance. If you call my office, you're not getting on my calendar for months. And so I guess that's good because I'm busy. But we're driven by time here. Most cultures are actually not as time driven as we are. They're very relationally based. And so time is something that is, okay, sirrah, sirrah. If you say show up at 6, I'll get there. I'm probably leaving the house at 6:30 because you told me to be there by 6.
Right.
So in the Western mentality, that's frustrating to us. So I've had to learn to allow time to be what the culture has said it's going to be. And so we do a lot of advertising at the last minute, and it feels unnatural to me, but that's what the culture is. So yes, Isaac will get the word out to pastors, and they'll talk about it for a couple of weeks that we're doing this. We'll use social media. We'll use other venues and other relationships that we have to talk about it, because they're not going to put something on their calendar months in advance and say, oh, this sounds like a great thing that I should go to. It's very emotionally based, which is, if I have the time at the moment that I'm supposed to be there, I'll go. And so that's a difficulty, actually, in doing really good preparation.
Well, particularly when you're limited. You're only there for a week, or this was one of your shorter trips, too.
I was only there for 5 days in this trip. And so, yes, it's very in and out. And so I have to use and trust Isaac, the Indonesian that I partner with, to know his culture, know his contacts, and I press him and push him in the American style. But yet, at some point, I have to relent and just say, ultimately, God is good, and he's going to bring the people who are supposed to be there. And lo and behold, every single time that I do this, I walk away going, these were good people. This was the right group for what we are building. And so, yep.
Now you had time in Bali and also Papua?
Papua. Uh-huh. Yeah. Now, this time I haven't been to Papua. That's really the next island that we're going to.
Okay.
So we've been focused in on Bali here. That's the starting work that I continually go back to. Been there twice now. So the trip I just got back from is the second time I've gone, and we've ran the program now back-to-back times. And then I'll be there in August. Mm-hmm. That'll be our third time. Mm-hmm. And then from that, so the first week will be, so in August, the first week will be in Bali. Then we're going to Papua, and we're going to restart it there. Now, the reason that we're going there, as a matter of fact, if you can envision right just above Australia, there's Papua New Guinea, and that island is cut in half. There's like a straight line right down the middle of that island. Well, the east side is Papua New Guinea, and the west side is Indonesia, and they call it Papua. Hmm. And so that's the island.
I thought that was the same place.
Yeah, no, but it's two countries occupying the same island. It's cut in half, and that very northwestern area is where we're going to restart the work again. So Bali has been our training ground because it is very Western. They're very used to Westerners coming in with their tourism, and the churches are more mature there. Now, in Papua, it's been a very preserved Christian island. So it's one of the few Christian islands that there. The Dutch missionaries came in the early 1700s, and I just believe that there's been a supernatural protection from God about this island that has preserved the Christianity. Yes, there's a Muslim influence because the government is Muslim, and there's a perpetual push in that island. So the two islands that we're going to, Bali, which is primarily Hindu, and then Papua, which is primarily Christianity, it really removes the predominant Muslim philosophy and religion that we have to work through in other places of Indonesia. So that's really why these two islands are important to us, is it creates a different opportunity in these areas. So even though they're under Muslim rule, these two islands have a greater flexibility and a greater receptivity to Christianity and to other religions, just based upon that they really have never been predominantly Muslim orientated.
Okay, interesting trip. But once again, to Indonesia, some of the heart of Paul Grant. This is a passion of his. And you can find out more about how you can maybe get involved in this in some way. We'll talk about that more in just a moment. People are intrigued, though. They want to find out maybe more about this trip and your other services. How do they get in touch with you, Paul?
Yeah, head over to legacyandfaith.com. At the very top of it, there's a banner that says Follow Paul's Mission Work. So you can click on that. It'll take you to what we've been talking about the past weeks concerning Indonesia. And there's also other opportunities from that website to learn more about the estate planning aspect of my life and the law firm. Educational opportunities coming up, past podcasts about estate planning as well. So head over to legacyandfaith.com.
Back with more of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant in just a moment.
Can I avoid probate? Will I lose everything if my health becomes compromised? How do I preserve what I have for me and my family? Will the government take it all? This is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. These are some of the most common questions we get on a daily basis, and there are solutions for all of these issues. It is time for you to protect your family and what God has placed under your stewardship, and we can help. Go to legacyandfaith.com to find out more about our services and upcoming educational opportunities. That's Legacy and Faith.
Your photos, slides, scrapbooks, and home movies are invaluable and irreplaceable. Barry Kenny here with the Bear Services. Call us to save them as digital files to be stored electronically and shared liberally. We will even come to you so they stay in your possession. Go to thebearservices.com for more information. That's thebearservices.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. And continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, hearing about Paul's recent trip to Indonesia, Mission Indonesia. And he just got back, and a lot of fresh excitement and insight about what's happening there. Now, this is a seminar that you have set up. You've done several times in the past. What happens then after you have these seminars? What's the follow-up?
Yeah, so somebody is interested in saying, okay, I want to learn more about business. And our objective is not just to have a two-day business session and then escape the country, but rather we've developed a process of mentorship to help take the business principles that we've taught and we're discussing and have follow-up conversations to really make it more about the individual's business and how to help them increase their business and make their business more successful. So there's two different programs that that we have. One I've developed, one is that I've linked myself with some missionaries in Bali, and they have a whole program set up of leading somebody through an in-depth business study and program that you would kind of expect, which would be about building their business vision, building their business purpose, working out what they really want to do in their business and their accounting methods, their budgets, and then market analysis. Is the business going to work in different areas? So we've partnered with a group called Maju Bali, that's M-A-J-U, Bali. And so they're missionaries. They're called to stay there, which is fantastic because I'm not called to stay there. I'm called to go and to be a voice and then to come back home and maintain the other calling of my life, which is to be an estate planning attorney. So with Maju Bali, the beauty of having their relationship is that I can now take individuals who are touched by what we have talked about, who recognize that they need business help, put them into Maju Bali's hands, have them go through a very intense business planning process. And on the simultaneously, we invite them into a monthly phone call or Zoom call, excuse me. Now everything's done by Zoom. We don't use phones anymore in the world. Into a Zoom call where I can talk about the spiritual principle that we've implemented. Because remember, day one is good business practices. Day two is a spiritual principle that you should be implementing into your business. And so I get the opportunity to touch base with individuals on a monthly basis. There's been about a dozen individuals who have participated over the past 6 months in our mentoring program. So that's actually a very, very strong number. Mm. We're going to be having another six or so join that from this current trip. Mm. So we should be around 15 consistent people coming into a mentorship program on a monthly basis.
Great.
And then the objective is, by that mentoring process, we get to know them individually, and then we kind of hand select the individuals that need to go through the Majubali process. On the back end, we are actually developing a scholarship program. And
now, scholarship for what?
So a loan program, a microloan.
Oh, so to start businesses?
Well, to start businesses or to increase. So a lot of people that are attracted to our sessions already have businesses, but they need to know how to take the next step. They need to know how to make their business more effective, or they need to know how to make their business produce more income through effectiveness. So a lot of individuals need some seed money to make it work. So, for example, one individual that's going to be going through the July program that Majubali has, she's a seamstress. So she does tailoring and does specific sewing projects. Well, she doesn't have a sewing machine of her own. So going through the program, she has to complete the Majubali program first and have a very strong business program. Then she will take that and present it to us and apply for a loan. It's a microloan. So anywhere from $500 to $1,000 will help her increase her business model, buy a sewing machine for herself, which she can't personally afford, and thereby stabilize her own family finances. When her family finances are stabilized, she can then begin to believe God to have an increase in her business, and that will flow over to her church and into society. So by helping individuals grow their businesses, our vision is that we stabilize the family unit first and create better financial picture for those individually. And once they are more financially stable, they will naturally, because it's a relational-based society, they will naturally begin to support their church and their society, those around them, very naturally. So we increase the power of the church, and we increase the stability of their local communities by assisting them with strong business philosophies and principles, and then really support them through coaching that I do. And ultimately, they may be able to apply for a loan, a microloan. Now, the beauty of this is that if somebody were to give, let's say somebody said, I'll participate and I'll help fund a $500 microloan for an Indonesian business owner. The beauty of that one-time gift is that it's not just a one-time gift. It actually is being paid back, and it will be recycled and given to another person. So now, through it, we have Indonesians actually helping Indonesians. And I think that's a very powerful model, that where most ministries you give into and it's used for the daily resources. In what we're presenting and what we're doing, yes, some are used in resources to put on the two-day programs because we have expenses in leasing and renting a space so that we can host 50 plus people at a time or buy them lunch. But ultimately, the loans are something that will that a gift into the ministry specifically towards loans that may be given to 2, 3, 4 different people that will be long term. And that's really a part of what our heart is that if someone had a passion to help out and start giving. So I have a 501c3 in the state, so you can get your typical write-offs. And this is all found at legacyandfaith.com, that you can give into this work, into this ministry, because I can't do it on my own. I can't financially support the entire work. I have up until this point, but you know, I'm at a place to where it's growing and it's starting to expand. I'm not going to be able to do this individually. So I need other people to step in and support. How can they do it? Well, they can give a scholarship. A scholarship will then pay the Majubali fee. There's a $150 fee to go through the educational program. You can give $500. That'll be a kickstart to someone's loan process, or you can give a general gift, which will help us run the ministry in the general area.
And you have another trip coming up here, you said, in
August? In August, yep. Mm-hmm. I go
and
back in August.
You're open to having somebody go with you.
Absolutely. Come. Specifically, if you're a business owner and you love to teach and you want to talk about a certain business principle, there's opportunities for people to step in and see what's going on, meet the business owners, see the work that we're doing and how we're influencing real people in a real way.
And this is also a beautiful part of the world, too.
It is. So it's very Bali difficult high. To go to Bali.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, it's very tropical.
Yes. It's beautiful.
So wonderful outreach. Sounds like things are really moving along and growing.
They are.
A lot of success. The Lord is blessing your work, Paul, with your mission to Indonesia. People, again, want to find out more about your overall estate planning. How do they do that?
Yeah, head over to legacyandfaith.com. There's upcoming educational opportunities, past podcasts. And again, there's a button that says follow Paul and his mission work. You can support the mission work there as well.
Legacyandfaith.com, Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.